since he was 13 years old, mostly in. He was an only child raised by a stepmother in Houston. In 1974, he and a friend took what they believed to be a lemon back to the used car lot. A fight ensued and the salesman was killed. 2 hours later, Washington and his friend were stopped by police and a gun battle followed. Although no one was killed, Washington was wounded. He admits he fired 2 shots. Both men were sentenced to die for the killing of the used car salesman, although Washington was not the trigger man. His death sentence was later reversed, and he was given a term of 50 years for the police shootout. He has been approved for parole and says he will probably be freed in a few weeks.
You fired a police officer. You were in the company of a partner who killed a man. You have had very little opportunity to function in a society, to mature and grow as a social person yourself. The odds and the record and the stories we read in the paper today indicate that society might be at risk by releasing you.
But does this say that I cannot get out and function as a person? It just doesn't say that, though. It may seem that the odds are against this, true enough. But the question still is whether or not I can get out and function as a person. What was the purpose of me being here? Was it just for punishment, or was it further to help me rehabilitate myself and get myself together where I could go back out and function as a person? If that was the purpose of me being here in the beginning because of the crime that I committed, then, you know, what's to say that I can't get out and function as a person? You know, I can tell you that I can get out and function as a person. I can tell you that's what I want to do and that's what I'm going to try to do. And there are so many people who have got out and went contrary to that, true enough. But, I mean, there's nothing I can do about that. All I can say is that if the public gives me a chance to get back out, that I will try most sincerely to function as a person. And to prove that, now when I came in with no education at all. I dropped out of school in the 10th grade. Since I've been here, I required the GED, I required a trade, and I finished college. That's saying a lot within 9 years that I've been incarcerated.
Now, Mr. Washington, I don't know, and I don't want to accuse you of something that isn't true, but I would assume that given the nature of the life that you led prior to your being sent to death row, that alcohol and dope were part of your life during those years.
Okay, I won't say alcohol was a part of my life, but I will say that, yes, drugs did have a part of my life, yes.
Drugs also loom as a potential temptation for you on the occasion of your release. And however determined might be your commitment to prove your citizenship, the viewer might wonder what's going to happen the first time somebody passes a reefer around.
Okay.
And what kind of behavior you might be capable of if you get stoned, not to mention the other drugs that are available out here.
I admit the possibility is there. There's no question about that. But what I have to look at, what I'm looking at, is the time that I've spent here. Don't mistaken, the people got my attention this time. Those 2 years on death row, they got my attention. I'm being released on parole on a 50-year sentence. I gotta walk light, real light. Because if I mess up any kind of way, I'd have gotta come back and do the remaining of that 50 years. I realize that. 9 years of my life has already been taken out. Drugs. Will that bring me back to the penitentiary? I believe so. I won't have anything to do with no drugs. Alcohol and all this, anything that I feel will have anything to do with me coming back to this penitentiary, no. I won't have anything to do with them at this point.
Do you have any family on the outside ready to receive you and help you in the adjustment?
All I have is a foster mother who is 76 years old, that's all.
And she, for that reason, can't be expected to be of much help.
Right.
So you have no one out here.
I have no one but myself.
It's hard for college graduates, PhDs, graduates from some of the most prestigious universities in this country to find work today. How does an ex-con do that? And what happens if he doesn't? And how are you going to deal with the pressures of not being able to provide for yourself?
Okay, First thing, I try not to never think about the possibilities of me not being able to provide for myself. I try to put that to a side. I may not be able to get the type of work that I want. For example, I'm electronics. And that's my major, and that's what I like, and that's what I would like to get into. I may not be able to get that type of work when I first get out. Maybe because I am an ex-con. But there is some type of work out there for me to do. If it is no more than working as a truck driver or whatever, you know, work. I'm looking for work. And right now, I'm not too choice about what type of work, you know. I'll take the whatever work is available for me until I can work myself up to what I really want.
As you know, Mr. Washington, there's a good deal of concern about the victims in this country. Yes. There is some resentment that media seems to focus on you instead of the people who were deeply hurt and for whom there will never be a life quite as joyful as existed prior to the murder, for example, of this employee of the automobile dealership. Do you think about that? Do you have any interest at all in communicating with the widow of this man?
Believe it or not, yes, I have. I've thought about it quite a bit. One thing, a lot of people may not believe this, but I regret the taking of a life, period. Naturally, I couldn't help but think about my own life. And I think about that lady and her husband and taking up his life. I regret it. But I wish that I could say something to her to show her how much I regret it, you know, even though they may not understand the situation. But no, there's no way in the world, you know, you could say that I didn't regret that, but I did, especially.